Well, good afternoon and welcome. It is, of course, good to see everybody again. We're thankful for your presence and, as always, hope you'll take out a Bible and follow along. Make certain that what is said is according to God's Word. This afternoon, I hope that this lesson is beneficial to you, that it is something that will be of value on a daily basis, and I hope that it is something that you will take to heart, as we all need some of these reminders. What I want to do is I want to share a list of four things that I found. I was reading an article, and it was just thrown in a little paragraph. I don't even know if it really fit into the article, but I didn't care. I don't remember the article. I remember these four points. They're very simple concepts that we can do on a daily basis to make certain that we don't backslide. And backsliding is something that we need to take very, very seriously. I think people frequently think of falling away as something you just fall off the edge of a cliff. In reality, it most frequently is a very slow process. And it happens sometimes when people aren't even paying attention. Maybe they've been angered by something, and rather than dealing with the issue, they just let bitterness fester within them. Maybe they've just been starting to get so busy at work that they haven't even paid attention, but they're no longer really thinking about spiritual things. We so frequently think of falling away and we relate it to attendance at worship. Honestly, once the attendance at worship starts to fall off, that means that you're pretty far down the road. What's causing you to backslide has already started to take hold in your life. And that's just the first indication everybody else gets, is when you start to not worship as frequently. Well, we should be very concerned about backsliding, each one of us, because it can happen to anyone. We might say, well, that only happens to these other people, these people of the world, anybody but you. Well, the truth of the matter is it can happen to anyone. I included John chapter 6 and verse 70 because I think if you looked at it from the perspective of the first century people, they would see things very differently than we do. We look at Judas and he's the great betrayer, Judas, the awful guy. You know, before that night, he was Judas, one of the 12. Before that night, he was Judas, one of those chosen by Jesus. Jesus even refers to that in John chapter 6 and verse 70. Did I not myself choose you? Yet one of you. Judas saw Jesus. Judas was closest to Jesus. Judas performed miracles for Jesus. Judas went out and proclaimed the name for Jesus. And then he betrayed him. It can happen to anybody. If we're talking about the great King David and all the great things he did, but then later on in life, what happened? He started to fall away. Solomon, with all of his wisdom, his wives caused him to fall away. We are being very, very foolish if we're not taking it seriously, the possibility that any one of us could cease being a Christian very, very quickly, or perhaps very, very slowly. We are being foolish if we don't recognize that it happens very frequently. It's not like this is something that's really, really a rare thing to have happen. This is something I talk to people when I'm first studying with new converts. I will talk to them about the great number of new converts I've had that fail to come to maturity, that will slide back into the world. Well, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, Paul says, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And we see through history that it's not just been a few people, but a great number of people who have lost track of the way that people ought to live as Christians. It has happened so frequently, it would be foolish for us to think it couldn't happen to us. And 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 just pretty much blatantly tells it, you who think you stand, take heed lest you fall. It can happen to any one of us. And part of that is because Satan hasn't given up on you. You became a Christian. You dedicated your life to God. You said, I will not sin anymore. I am going to serve God. That's fantastic. Satan doesn't believe you. Satan doesn't think you're a lost cause yet for what he wants you to do. And so 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 describes an adversary that we have and that we must pay close attention to. It says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Make that more personal. He's seeking you. And bottom line is then, we just haven't finished the race. We're not there yet. Someday we will be at that pearly gate, Lord willing. And we will hear those wonderful words from Jesus, "Well done, enter in." And then you're finished. And then you're done. But until that time, we're at risk. Until that time, we have to be careful. And so in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, the Hebrew author tells us, "You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Until we've received it, we still must endure." So backsliding should be a serious concern that each one of us considers and to some degree worries about. To some degree, we have our mindset saying, "I don't want to be that person." So what do we do? Four things. First one, say something, let God say something to you every day. It is a daily process that leads to backsliding. It is a daily process that prevents it. And the first thing we do is let God speak to us. Now, when I say that, I'm not referring to this idea of listening to our inner voice or guessing at the signs that are around us saying, "Well, this light changed in this particular order, therefore that must mean that God wants me to do this," or to listen to just how something feels inside of us. Everybody has a voice inside them. That is not a voice that is coming from God. If you pay close attention, you will notice that voice is sometimes extremely wise and sometimes extremely foolish. That is a voice God has put in us, not a voice that is God's voice. Well, look at these. Psalm 119 and verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the very first psalm, Psalm 1, in the first two verses, same concept. It is God's word directs us. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." This book which you are holding is God's message to you. It is the message that God has seen fit to have preserved and passed down for thousands of years for you to read, for you to understand who He is and what He wants. And if on a daily basis you will open it up and read it, you can better understand, you can better serve, you can avoid backsliding. So Ephesians chapter 3, this is the way that God has set it up. There's so many people today who talk about the personal messages they're receiving from God. And I think what happens is they read the scriptures and they see, well, you have this prophet who receives the word of God, and you have another prophet who receives the word of God. And they lose sight of the fact that those are actually the rare circumstances. And even in the first century, when you had many people that were receiving spiritual gifts, even in that circumstance, it wasn't that common to receive the message from God. But even then, that was going to go away. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that was going to go away. Here was the way it was normal. This is the way God had planned it. Some people were going to receive it to give to others. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." And so God has picked a select few in the world and throughout time to reveal His message to them, and they wrote it down, and now you and I have it. Listen to God every day. Open up the scriptures and see what He has to say. So there's two steps to that. First one is to read every day, and the second one is this. Read it as if it's to you. In other words, read it on trying to seek the application that it means for you. What it is that God wants you to change in your life based on the things that you are saying. The scriptures is not that much benefit if the only thing you're going to use it with is to hit other people over the head with. Say, "Look at what you're doing wrong, and look at what you're doing wrong, and you've got this wrong." And you have to read it as if God is speaking to you, how He wants to change your life. So first thing, let God say something to you every day. Second thing is say something to God every day. So change that direction, and now we're speaking to God every day. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Does that not sound like an everyday sort of thing we're supposed to do? And how many of us would say that we pray as much as we should? Our prayers should be frequent, and they are important, as it is our way of communicating to God. So what is it we should pray about? I mean, what are we going to talk about? You ever get that point in a relationship where you just don't know what to say anymore? That's an indication your relationship needs some help. Well, what are we going to talk to God about? Well, the Scriptures gives us several things to talk about. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, tell them what you did wrong. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but for me, I've got plenty to talk about every day then. Because I've got plenty of things to tell God that I'm sorry about. Plenty of things to tell Him that I've done. Well, tell Him about your worries. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Every day, tell God something you're worried about. Something that is in your life that's bothering you. Tell Him. Don't just worry about it and be concerned about it and stress about it. And stay up late at night about it. Tell Him what's worrying you. Tell Him what you're thankful for. You might notice 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. What's the very next thing He says? Give thanks. Because this is God's will for you. So, I have noticed several of you on Facebook have taken up this November challenge of saying something you were thankful for every day, and you posted it on Facebook, which is great. Give that to God, and not just in November, but every day of our life. Take the time to say, this is what I'm thankful for. To think about it. What I found interesting was afterwards, several people started talking about how they deal with depression. And that's one of those silent things that many people struggle with. But they were talking about how it's really helped them. That in the midst of their turmoil and their stress, they spent some time every day thinking of something positive. Forcing themselves to do it. And it made them look at life in a better way. So tell Him what you're thankful for. And finally, what are we going to say to God? Well, praise Him. When Jesus begins the model prayer, Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise God. James 5 and verse 13, is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing praises. In marriage counseling, one of the things that you're going to teach people is to compliment one another. Because that process, just the thought process of thinking positive things about somebody else, strengthens that relationship. Taking that next step and actually telling them the things that you appreciate about them strengthens the relationship even more. How much more so with God? How shameful it is for God to have done so much for us. So much that we would sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one, recognizing that there are more than we can count. God has done so much for us, and for us to forget to tell Him thank you and to recognize the things He's done. So what should we talk about? Well, you have plenty to talk about. Every day, do so. So let God say something to you every day. Say something to God every day. And that's the third step, is say something for God every day. So every day as you go through your life, whether it is at work or whether it is in recreational things, every day focus on making sure you say something for God every day. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, if you look at the example of James 5, verses 19 and 20, what we're talking about is when you see somebody who's fallen away, say something for the sake of God to that person. Turn them from their sins. So it says, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Say something for God rather than ignoring when a brother falls away. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 talks about why we've become Christians. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You might recall we just said a little bit ago that we should compliment God, that we should praise God for the things He's done. You know what else we should do? We should do that every day when we're in the world. Tell people what God has done for you. Tell them how great He is. Go back to that marriage concept, that families. And it is sad when families get to a point where they cannot think positively about one another. And it's a challenge for them to compliment one another. But one of the things you can really find out about where their relationship is by how they talk about each other. And if they're with their friends and all they talk about with their friends is how their spouse is such a nag or their spouse is such this or that and it's negative thinking, there's something wrong with that relationship. How much more so if we don't go around and talk about the greatness of God? He has made us His. He has redeemed us from the realm of darkness. He has redeemed us from our own guilt and our own sins so that we would be a people that go around and proclaim, announce His greatness, His excellencies. Do it every day. And just try to fall away while you're doing that. Well, I'm obviously not suggesting you try to fall away, but I hope you get the point. When you are out praising God and glorifying God, it is awfully hard to fall away from Him. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, similar concept. Therefore, everyone who confesses Me before men, I will also confess him before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will also deny him before My Father who is in heaven. So take the time every day to confess your faith, your belief in Jesus as the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, what sort of things can we say every day for the sake of God? And if you see somebody who is struggling, somebody who is weak, somebody who is suffering, help them. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Every day. And you will have found a great way to avoid backsliding. So we've got three things thus far. First, let God say something to you every day. Second, say something to God every day. Third, say something for God every day. And the fourth one is do something for God every day. Every day, make certain that you are taking some action with God in mind. Some action that is dedicated, devoted to Him. So what sort of things are we talking about there? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, without getting into a specific, you might recall that it wasn't very long ago we talked about this passage quite a bit for a whole year. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Here's this description of every day doing something. Let your life be abounding, overflowing with work. What sort of things? Well, if we ask Jesus that, He would tell us in Matthew 25, He shows us this judgment scene in verse 35 through 36, where He talks about, I was hungry, You fed Me. I was naked, and You gave Me clothes. I was thirsty, and You gave Me something to drink. And we know the passage well enough to know that He's talking not about seeing Jesus literally, but the way we treat the people around us. When you see somebody in need, whatever that need may be, that's an opportunity to do something for God. When you look at your family, your home, or your relationships, when you choose to be a good husband or a good wife, to be a good child or a good parent, to be a good employee or a good boss, when you choose to do these things for the sake of God, you're doing something good for God. And I want to emphasize that last concept, doing it for the sake of God. Don't just do the things that feel natural. Some people, I think, are blessed with just a kind heart. And that's easy for them. We're talking about going beyond what's easy and making a choice for the sake of God. For each one of us, there may be some things God has asked us that are easy, but for each one of us, there are some things which are hard. Do the hard things. Do something that is more difficult every day for the sake of God. Whether it be showing mercy and forgiveness, whether it be being patient, whatever it is, do something for God. Live your life not for yourself, but for God. Romans chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Don't live your life your way. Every day, live your life his way. Live your life for him. How many people do you suppose fall away while practicing these four things? Now, I have to admit, there's different types of falling away, and this doesn't really resolve one of them. It helps, but doesn't really resolve one of them, and that is falling away doctrinally. That is when you start hearing some other doctrine, and you morph your doctrine from the faith that God has given into this false teaching. This doesn't really resolve that entirely. There are very spiritual-minded people who fall for spiritual error. But I'm talking about people that just quit. People that get discouraged and they just quit. Do you think many of them do that while at the same time they're listening to God every day, speaking to God every day, speaking for God every day, and doing something for God every day? This isn't just some cure for backsliding. This is a path for growth, for a stronger relationship to God. And may I suggest, as this year comes to an end and this new year is coming and you start thinking about resolutions, think along these lines. Think, what can I do to strengthen myself and be closer to God? But there's more benefit to this than that. And I will consider this one final thought for you. Want a stronger marriage? Four steps, easy steps to remember, stronger marriage. Listen to your spouse every day. Listen to her needs or his needs, their wants, their desires. Just spend some time and listen to them. Spend some time every day talking to them, sharing with them your concerns, your desires, sharing with them your day. Spend some time being their advocate in the world, talking about them in a positive light to others. When you're around your friends, rather than insulting and saying, oh, how bad your spouse is, spend some time talking about how great your spouse is and watch the change in your relationship. And every day, do something for your spouse. Now, I do not stand up here to tell you this is what I have done and it works really well and it's perfect. I'm actually getting up here to tell you this was a really great idea, this very scriptural concept, and I want to work on it because it'll work. It will strengthen your relationship with your spouse and it will strengthen your relationship with God, and both of those are very good things. I thank you for your time and for your attention. If there are any here who are not Christians, now's the time to become one. Now's the time to begin that relationship with God in which you can have your sins washed away and you can be adopted as a child of God. If you're not a Christian but you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it's time to follow him. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ this morning, this afternoon. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, listen to what God says. Listen to his words. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Jesus didn't say that to the people of the world. When Jesus said that, it was to Christians who had fallen away. If you've fallen away, he is standing at your door knocking, begging you, won't you come back? Well, won't you? As we stand and as we sing. Would you